from La Estación de Sucios, with an undefeated record of 666 wins and 0 losses, it's your host, El Mofo, presentando the Chicanos y Chingazos Podcast.
Check one, check two, check one, check two. It's Mofo, your humble host. Welcome to the número dos episode of Chicanos y Chingazos Podcast. Ashley Evans Smith, that hot ass, badass UFC fighter, just texted me if she could call now. So I'm all like, ooh, I wasn't really ready. So she's going to be calling any second now. Bert, I texted you some scripts, some notes. Okay, so while I'm waiting for her call, let me make sure everything's ready here. Okay, here we go. She should be calling any second. Yeah, Ashley Evans Smith, we've kind of gone back and forth as far as trying to set up today's interview. That's already just been kind of a delay, but I am going to try to do this every fucking week. But the main thing today is to record her call. Who knows? I might do the rest of the show later, maybe tonight, tomorrow. But yeah, so I'm just going to record the interview part tonight. Oh, shit, Bert! Hello, hello, hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, Ashley Evans Smith, the Rebel Girl?
That's me.
Man, thank you. Thank you for calling, for guesting on the show. I'm just kind of scrambling right here. I just walked in the door when you texted me. Horrible traffic coming from Orange County today.
Yeah, always traffic.
Yeah. So where are you at right now?
I live in Santa Ana. I just got home from the gym.
Oh, so you're in Santa Ana. I work in Cypress.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm real close to you, and I have a nephew that lives in Santa Ana. My brother lives in Anaheim, so I'm real familiar with that area.
Okay, nice.
Now, did you grow up there?
No, I'm actually originally from Northern California.
Okay, so now, was that a big change? When did you come to Sur, California?
About 8 years ago or so. I don't know. Actually, probably so when I was 23. I'm 32 now.
Okay, so you were raised up north.
Yeah.
Now, was it like...
college in the Bay Area.
Now, was it like night and day coming to Santa Ana?
No, not at all. I mean, because I was from a very small town, but then I went to the Bay Area. Went to college, and I actually, after college, I lived in East Palo Alto, pretty hood, and so I'm kind of used to that area living in.
Yeah, were there cholos and cholas over there?
Yeah, I mean, it was more like a urban kind of area in East Palo Alto where I was living, and now it's cholos and cholas that are my neighbors.
Well, I mean, you look like a tough girl. Like, you look like you could, fuck somebody up, even maybe before you started, like, training to fight. Were you always kind of had, like, that attitude?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I got into 20 street fights as a kid, so, if I ever did get into a fight, I didn't have any skill, but I was down to fight, just regardless of whether or not I knew how to throw a punch or not.
Right, okay, well, you know what, that's what I've said for a while, because I stopped bouncing a few years ago, but I was a bouncer for 25 years. But I always loved fighting. Even before I learned how to fight, I was down to fight. And, I have a tattoo on my left tricep that says fighter. Because I always believed that you have to... I'm not saying love to fight. I'm not saying, like, you have to be, like, an asshole who's always looking for fights. But you have to be down to fight. Like, almost like... no matter who or where, to get to your level. Like, I don't think if you're, like, if it isn't in you, right? Like, if you're not born a fighter, I don't know if you can reach the level at the level that you're at. What do you think?
I mean, I'd say most fighters come from, you know, if we did an actual survey and had, like, accurate statistics, it'd be a safe bet to say that most fighters come from a rough background, whether that's a rough family life or fighting on the streets or something of that nature. But you're always going to get the random person, like a Sage Northcutt, you know, somebody who, you know, their family environment, at least seemingly, seems just perfect, and you know, you ask yourself, why did you choose to fight for a living?
Right.
Most likely, you know, in a street fight situation, they're probably going to try and, like, you know, say, you know, let's call this with our words or something like that, you know. But yeah, I think, you know, to be a successful fighter, you kind of have to have that don't fuck with me kind of mentality, you know, or more so, if someone fucks with you, you know, you'll fuck with them back because you don't want to be disrespected, or you're just going to protect yourself no matter what. So.
Right. Now, okay, like, let me, this is what I've always, like, wondered, like, when you're at your level of recognition and fame, and probably kind of maybe everywhere you go, right, people know who you are, is that, are people looking at you more like, ooh, stay away from her, or do you get, like, some street asshole once in a while who wants to test you more?
I mean, I don't really think everybody knows who I am, to be honest, because MMA is popular and the UFC is popular, but, you know, not everybody, you know, we are in the industry, and you know, I definitely stand out in my industry aesthetically, but, you know, I think people don't know for sure, so, you know, I'm not like a big name like Ronda or Conor McGregor or something like that. So you might get someone who knows who I am, but you know, in my opinion, I'm not that well known.
Yeah, but you got an intimidating look about you, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, because you're hot as hell. Like, to me, you're like super sexy. Like, when I met you at the signing over there in is it the Honda Center? Is it still called that?
Oh yeah, the Honda Center.
Okay, like, even if you weren't a fighter, just to look at you, you have, like, a presence about you, like a command presence, you know, that says, like, you know, fuck with me, I'm going to fuck with you. You know, like, no matter how hot you are, you just have a presence about you. And then you have a unique look, too, with your tattoos, the shaved head. You got height to you. To me, like, I'm pretty sure you kind of stand out everywhere you go. Like, so, but again, you have that presence about you. I just don't see too many people, like, trying to bully you or disrespect you or come, you know, talk to you, like, in the wrong tone, you know?
No, yeah, definitely not disrespected often.
Yeah. And then when you do go out, like, I've been kind of stalking your Instagram because I knew I was going to interview you. Like, you just went out to some club, like, last night or two nights ago with a bunch of girls.
Last night I was at a drag show in downtown Santa Ana.
Yeah. Now, like, in an environment like that, do people know you? Because, I mean, that's right in your neighborhood.
I mean, that was a private show. There was only maybe two other people besides the girls that I knew. So that's hard to say. But, you know, like, I'm going to go have dinner tonight in downtown Costa Mesa. And, you know, someone might know, recognize me. But for the most part, I mean, I don't really get recognized a lot when I'm in the MMA scene, meaning, like, going to UFC fights or, you know, like, them going to, like, the OC Fight Doc here in Orange County or something like that, you know, like, yeah, where fighters go. Yeah.
And how badass is that, being a UFC fighter, to say, like, to me, like I kind of have a normal 9-to-5 job, and to the guys in the warehouse, right? Like, because I'm the graphic artist there, but, like, the guys in the warehouse, they're really the only ones that I talk to about UFC, MMA, and they're the only ones really into it. But to them, like, I wouldn't say they're hardcore fans. They're kind of like casual fans. So they kind of know, like, they don't even say MMA. They just say UFC.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, if you're not a UFC fighter, like, if you're a Bellator, Invicta, Combate Americas, whatever, they really, like, have no idea. who you are. But like you, like everybody in the warehouse knows who you are. My son and all his friends, they've been following you for years. Like my son and the guy who co-hosts with me sometimes, you couldn't make it today, but like they're hardcore fans of yours. Like they know everything about you. And I'm like, shit, they're not going to be here when she calls. But when you say you're a UFC fighter, does that, you got to feel special, right? Because, I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that I'm basically in the, you know, NBA or the NFL or the MLB
right.
of my sport.
Exactly.
But at the same time, my sport, you know, it's an eclectic group of fans, you know. I mean, it definitely, you know, ranges from young to old and, you know, housewife sometimes to, you know, maybe like, you know, someone more along the lines of someone that would seemingly, like, you know, be my fan, like a punk rocker fan or something like that. But I don't know, maybe just because, you know, sometimes when people are popular, quote unquote famous, you know, people are afraid to approach them, and I don't think I get approached that often, you know. I get messages often in my on my Instagram or Facebook and stuff like that that really, really make me realize how much I'm impacting people's lives, you know. People say, like, oh, you know, you're the reason why I work out in the morning. You inspire me to eat better. You inspire me to, I look at your Instagram every day because when I look at your stuff, it makes me happy, you know. Like, and I'm like, I'm just doing me. But I like that. And that is a perk of my job, you know. I get asked the question about being a role model a lot. And even though sometimes, you know, I'm human, you know, I don't make all the right choices, you know, I think that being a role model is cool. You know, I think that, you know, pretty much 90%, maybe 95% of what I post on social media is kid friendly, or, you know, what, you know, if I did have a kid, you know, I wouldn't mind my kid following this fighter, you know.
Right.
You know, I might have some controversial views about religion or something like that, but for the most part, you know, I'm not, you know, cussing up a storm or doing anything crazy, you know. Like, I live my life, for the most part, I'm in the gym. I do go out, you know, and you know, I'm a single 32-year-old girl, so, you know, I'm going to go out and, you know, do all the kind of stuff that single women do, but, you know, I don't know. It's definitely cool. I mean, I love it. I love the fact that I'm at the highest level that I can be. But I'm just not happy with where I'm at in the UFC. You know, I was ranked number 11 just one fight ago, and now I'm not in the top 15. And so I wasn't even happy with number 11. I was, you know, because to me, all I see is you're not even in the top 10. But then again, I know if I'm in the top 10, all I'm going to see is you're not even in the top 5. You know,
right.
If I'm in the top 5, I'm going to say, you know, you don't have the belt. So, even though, you know, I'm part of myself, that is also the same reason that I am in the UFC.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough because, to me, like, there's so many fucking ways to lose. And that's, to me, what makes MMA, to me, different from everything else, you know? And I'm not putting down boxing. Believe me, I'm not. But, dude, you really only have to worry about a left or a right, and that's it. You know what I mean? You're not worrying about all this other shit. Well, forget his hands. Here comes his elbows. Here comes his feet. Here comes his knees. Now he might take you down. Oh, fuck. Here comes an arm bar. Oh, fuck, my leg lock. He's got my foot. Jesus fucking Christ.
Exactly.
Right? It's like checkers and chess. Okay? That's kind of how I compare it. And I'm so lucky. Like I tell people all the time, I'm so lucky I was a bouncer. Really before the fucking UFC days. Because, I mean, let's admit it. The guys I was fighting basically were stand-up boxing dudes. And a lot of them were fucking drunk. And it didn't really take much to fucking stop the situation, right? Stop them from whatever they were doing. Because that was my job. That it was really to protect property in public. And that was it. It wasn't to fucking fight for 25 fucking minutes against some dude who knew how to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a whole different world, but MMA, there's just so much to learn and to train for. That's why, to me, like, you guys, first of all, to me, you guys should be making so much more money.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah, and then, like, it's weird. Like, there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of people in my family, because I'm really the only one who orders the pay-per-views, and me and my son were really into it. But like the older people, like the aunts and the uncles, they can't believe that like women fight in a cage. You know, like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. What is she doing? Like, you know, that kind of thing. And so you're very, that's what I mean. Like, from the top of the show, what I was trying to say, that you're very special and unique. That's what I mean. Like, there's so many things that you're doing that the whole fucking world is doing. I was thinking about this morning. How many fucking UFC female fighters are there? There's only, what, four divisions? I mean, if you really want to count the featherweight, I mean, there's not much there. But I was thinking, even if there was 20 girls a division, that's 4 times 20. That's 80. That's 80 women out of fucking, what, 327 million people in the United States, billions in the world. But it, what I do like when you say that, a lot of people might not know you, but a lot of the world knows now about the UFC. Like, the brand name, it's fucking out there. It's everywhere. Yeah, it's like all sure. over. It's like all over the damn planet now. I mean, you
we're
got
international. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you got that badass. I call her the female Bruce Lee. Her name's hard to say. Zhang Weili or something. She just won the title.
Yeah, Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah, like, to me, her page is so cool. She's constantly posting on her Instagram, like, a lot of these kind of, like, old, like, she'll do, like, these old school, like, Chinese kung fu videos and stuff. Yeah, I like her. What do you think about her versus Joanna? Who are you picking there?
Oh, man, that's a hard one, because Joanna looks so great in her last fight.
Yeah.
You know, just karate, hottie. You know, I'm actually going to pick the current champ. We've got the same management company, same manager, and she seems really sweet. You know, I love that she's the first Chinese champ, you know, and Joanna's had the belt, and so I'm just going to pick it, because I'm kind of like, I don't even know who will be the underdog, you know, in this situation, because Joanna's vicious.
I think Joanna's the underdog. As of today, but yeah, I'm picking Zhang, because I don't know, man. I just think she's vicious. But like you said, she seems like so sweet and nice. But I think she's fucking mean as fuck. I think when she goes in there, she's just fucking vicious. But I see that with you too. Like when you know you're going to fight, and when do you start, like, kind of getting into that zone? Is it that week, that day, or till you get in the cage?
It's backstage, you know, when I'm on deck, when I'm about to, kind of like when I'm warming up a little bit, but really the flip doesn't really switch until I'm about to walk out.
Right. Now, once the fight is over, whether you win or lose, is it, like, off immediately?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because my emotions overtake me.
Right.
I'm a very emotional person, you know, and that has served me well and not so well in life. But, you know, so win or lose, if I win, I'm ecstatic, I'm happy, you know, I just can't, you know, I'm just a happy person. If I lose, I'm crushed, you know, I'm crying. I'm not too proud to say I cry. I cry a fuck ton, you know, my heart is broken. This is everything to me. It's not just a job.
Right.
It defines me, and I know that I shouldn't say that, because if it defines me as a person, then what am I going to be after fighting, you know? But, you know, it defines me, because it's everything that I put my time and my energy and my hopes and my dreams into. So it's not so much that it defines me saying that I'm a fighter, but it defines me as, you know, what I'm working towards and how I achieve my goals and all that. And so, you know, I get crushed, and so I'm either really sad or really, really happy, and, you know, that animal kind of killer instinct, the switch, is just off for sure.
Right. Well, I think you learn to adapt and adjust to when you stop fighting in the cage, because, like, to me, that's your character. To me, you're a born fighter. You might stop fighting in the cage one day, But you'll always be a fighter till you die. You'll just be fighting for something different, for your family, for your kids, for your community, or whatever. I think that fighting spirit, which is what I'm talking about, I think that's in you. And that'll always stay with you. And that's why you, I think you're so emotional, because to me, fighters are emotional. Like, to me, I'm very emotional. I'm like the first fucker to cry, to laugh, you name it. But what I've learned is you go from like fighting, let's say, in the streets or a parking lot or a bar, you learn to change that to, you know what, I'm going to fight for a raise. Or I'm going to fight for my daughter to get something, or fight for something else. To get, and I think that's what happened with you, even though fighting in the cage might define you right now. After that, you're going to see that you're a fighter about everything. And it could be anything, like even like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever had a situation like with addictions, because I do, and I'm always, that's a daily fight with me. That's really been my biggest fight. And that's why I got that fighter tattoo on my tricep. It wasn't about fighting. It was really about fighting me. Because my biggest enemy my whole fucking life has been me. It hasn't been some dude at a bar. I've always been my biggest enemy. And that's what I mean by that fighter tattoo. Like, okay, what's been your biggest fight outside the cage?
I'd say believing in myself. You know, I went to the Tony Robbins seminar with my friend Carla a few years back. This fan favorite, actually, for us to go. It was really awesome. And didn't really realize how culty it kind of was until we got there. But, you know, I took what I could out of it. And a couple of things that I took away were the fact that he calls these things that we think are predetermined in our head, they're called limiting beliefs, and it's what holds us back. And it could be anything from the fact that, you know, like, oh, you know, my family is fat, so I'll always be fat, or, oh, you know, I come from alcoholics, so I'm always going to be an alcoholic, or something like that, or, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, you can predetermine these things in your head. One of the things that I predetermined in my head was at an early age, in my wrestling career, I had said, you know, I'd accomplished a lot of great things, but I was never a national champion in high school. You know, I was a tri-state champion, so Washington, California, Oregon state champion, but I was never a national champion. And then in college, I was a four-time All-American, and the highest I ever got was fourth internationally, but I was never an international champion. And so, like, I developed this thought in my head that, like, I'm always going to be this mediocre athlete. Yeah, I'm a great athlete. You know, I'll be top 10, but, like, I'll never be a champion. And so sometimes, you know, like, I'll keep those thoughts in the back of my mind. And as we all know, you know, those thoughts, they come out in different ways, you know.
Right.
How you train, how you think about yourself. And so this limiting belief that I've brought into my adult life and into my adult career was holding me back. And it still does. And it's a constant fight, you know, because there's other things that I won't get into with my family background. You know, I come from, unfortunately, some addiction with my family. And, you know, so my limiting beliefs in that sense, things that were holding me back are like, oh, well, I come from, you know, meager means, you know, and so maybe I'm just never going to be a successful person financially or whatever. And so I struggle with those things, but I've done pretty well for myself from coming from, you know, pretty poor family, or, you know, family that struggles with addiction, or, you know, just a little tomboy that, you know, just started wrestling and here I am. So I know that I have done great things, but we always fall back into those thoughts, and I'm sure you do as well. You know, if you have an addictive addiction habit, you know, you'll find yourself rationalizing, well, you know, maybe just one or this, you know, and I'll find myself saying, well, here I am, not that great, you know. So that's been one thing.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I have tattooed on my hands. It says believe in yourself. And que será, será, which means believe in yourself, and whatever will be. You know, because what I was having a hard time dealing with was fucking up. Every time I fucked up, I used it as a reason to fuck up more. because I would get pissed off at myself. Oh, see, you fucking smoked some meth, so now I'm going to smoke it for 5-6 days in a row. You know, I was, so instead of fucking up for one night, I was fucking up for a week. And I had to learn the way I kind of stopped it. Like me, okay, I haven't smoked crystal meth since 2008. All right. And the way I learned to deal with is you can't always do what you want. You know, you can, sometimes you got to do what you can do, you know, because it's two different things, what you want and what you can. But I think a lot of times your ego, your pride, I don't know, like it fucks with you. Like, what do you mean you can't smoke that shit? You can smoke that shit. Who the fuck's going to tell you not to? Or are you a pussy? All of that was in my head. Once I finally learned to, you know what, dude, you keep thinking about disrespect and all this other shit. You're just disrespecting yourself because you can't function. Well, you know, once you can't handle something or function, you have to stop. It's like, because like I'm a graphic artist. One of the first things I learned in graphic arts is what they call the Bauhaus method, which was developed in Germany. And what it is if you design and build a chair, no matter how cool and badass it looks, if somebody sits down in it and it breaks, it's not, you know, it's worthless. So it doesn't matter how badass or how cool you look or whatever, whatever. If you can't function, who gives a fuck? So I kind of learned to adapt that to me where, you know, okay, you know, you might be think you're accomplishing this, but you can't handle it. You can't function. So basically what I tell other people, if you can't handle it, don't do it. Period. You know, but I know it's easier said than done. I mean, I'm almost fucking 60 years old now. It took me years, but you'll get there, but only because, like you said, I believed in myself. If you don't believe in yourself, fuck, dude, there's really nothing else is going to work. And it really kind of starts there.
For sure. I totally agree.
Yeah. Now, what do you got coming up as far as fighting?
I'm just waiting for the UFC. Unfortunately, my manager, Brian Butler, was set to punch, trying to get, you know, fight lined up, but end of the year was all booked up, and so now I'm trying to get one lined up for either January 8th, I think that's the first card of the year, or sorry, January 14th, you know, that Vegas card with Conor McGregor headlining will be fucking amazing.
Oh, but, yeah, you're kidding.
I know I'm going to be on that. Yeah, and then, you know, I think after that, there's a couple, like, one more in January, and then another one February 8th, so... You know, I'm coming off my stem cell injections that I got about 3.5, almost 4 months ago, and I'm good, but you know, I'm not fully cleared. But by the time January, February comes around, I will be cleared. So, you know, and I'll be at like a full training camp. So, my weight is good. You know, I've been running my ass off just to stay ready for when my arm, you know, is fully healed and I can spar and everything. Train like I'm in fight camp, so I'm just staying ready because, you know, UFC kind of notorious for, you know, wait, and then, okay, get ready, hit fight.
Okay, let me ask, I gotta ask you one, like, kind of like what I call like a chingasu menudo question, which is kind of silly or funny. Okay, if you had to fight one of these three creatures, either Bigfoot, a werewolf, or a vampire, who would you fight because you think you could win? Of those three.
Bigfoot, a werewolf, or a vampire. Definitely not a werewolf, because that's like, I think, the more gnarly version of Bigfoot. A vampire, they are immortal. So I'm going with Bigfoot. He seems slow. So yeah.
Slow? Yeah, I could. I think you could get behind a Bigfoot and choke him out.
Yeah.
Like, I could see you doing that. Yeah, I could see you doing that, like, easily. Now, okay, what got you into, because you said you were getting into street fights. Is that what got you into fighting, as far as training? Because somebody looked at you, or somebody seen you?
I was just in street fights as a young kid, and then I actually got into wrestling in high school. And then I went to wrestling in college. And then from wrestling in college, I graduated and didn't really know what to do with myself. And I just had a chance meeting with Eugene Jackson from the Bay Area when I was about a year out of college. And I was bartending, and he came in and realized I was wearing a wrestling shirt and, you know, asked me about my experience and, you know, told him about wrestling. And he said, you know, come train with me, do MMA. And I just opened a gym, and I told him I don't have any money, and I don't even know what MMA is. And he said, it's like wrestling with boxing. And so I said, okay. And he said, you know, come, I'm not going to charge you. I went, and he trained me for about 10 months. I fell in love and eventually moved down to Southern California.
Cool. Now, do you think, in your opinion, is wrestling the most important, like, first base to have for MMA?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, it seems like it, huh?
Yeah, or at least, I mean, you know, if you have awesome wrestling, you know, you can negate a striker's, you know, best game because you're going to bring it to the mat. But then, obviously, you know, if that striker has good wrestling defense, you know, you're facing a problem, so... But, I'm biased. I think wrestling is the best sport ever.
Yeah. Okay, well, before we finish up, you are really, really good, it seems like, at your social media. How important is social media right now for a professional fighter?
Am I good at my social media? Sometimes I feel like I am, sometimes I feel like I'm not.
No, because, I mean, you're pretty consistent with it, and then, like, your stories, you put, like, all kinds of cool little like effects in there, like you can tell you put your time into it, and you got almost 100,000 followers.
This is true. Approaching chicks. Okay, so I would say it is actually I was pseudo managed, helping manage a couple amateur fighters, just, you know, talk to promotions and that kind of stuff, nothing crazy. I'm not taking any money from them, just trying to help out my teammates. And one thing I would tell them was start posting at least one picture a day. Start tagging people that are pertinent to your career, you know, MMA and all that. And, you know, so besides being consistent and engaging other people, you know, bringing people to your page, you just really, really, really need to try and do whatever you can to grow your social media. Because if you get to the UFC, when you get to the UFC, you know, I tell them, it's no longer about banners and shorts and all that. We've got, you know, in the UFC are in partnership, as everyone knows. So sponsorships and the making money that way is huge. So, I mean, it's not everything, but it is very, very important. I'd be lying if I said that social media isn't important to at least a UFC fighter. Maybe the Bellator fighters, since they have banners and whatnot, you know, maybe it's not as important, but companies still want to work with fighters that have a large following.
Yeah. My only problem with the Bellator, and I was seeing a lot of it this weekend, you can't fucking find it. Like, it's hard to watch. Like, shit, where are they? Like, sometimes they're on a cable show, sometimes they're on this on the Zone, sometimes they're on this. Like, fuck, how many apps do you need to, like, watch, like, something like Bellator? Like, I'll get up at 7 or 8 in the morning, and then I'll go on Twitter and they're showing highlights. I'm like, what? It's on already? What the fuck? Like, it's, I don't know. That's got to be, it's frustrating trying to watch Bellator. It really is. Because there's a lot of fights in there and fighters that I like to watch. But they're kind of all over the place. And you were around before the Reebok days. Did you like it before Reebok? Better?
I did a lot because, you know, you could customize your fight outfit, you know, and obviously, you know, everything about me is, you know, I try to be different.
Yeah, you're very unique.
So with my, you know, everything from my tattoos or the way I wear my hair, you know, like, so I don't like being uniform. I don't like looking like everybody else.
Right.
That's what you have to do now. And then all, you know, besides the aspect of money, you know, it's just, you know, I used to be able to wear a cute little outfit to weigh in, you know, look a little sexy or something like that. And now it's like, it's totally different.
Yeah. I missed that. The entrances, you know, everyone was kind of different. The banners in the back, it was cool. Everybody looked different. Now you're in the team. You were at Sucker Punch Entertainment.
Yeah,
that's cool. Is there the Hustler thing? How did that? Is that like the actual like Hustler magazine, or was that like an online?
I believe it's also gonna be the magazine.
And you, so you did a photo shoot?
I mean, I shouldn't make you click on it, but it's you gotta like basically click on get a subscription to see all the pictures and stuff. But I'm not naked. I would never pose naked.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good, though. Okay, like, real quick. Now, what about the actress thing? Listen, can you talk on that real quick? What are you doing there?
Yeah, I have to go after this. I'm sorry, but I need a shower. I just got home from the gym. But, yeah, I've done one movie already. I'm doing a second one in March. The first movie that I can talk about, since it's already released. Well, the release party is in March, early March for that one. It's called Lola. It's a female boxing movie. I basically play the girl version of Ivan Drago, where, you know, he doesn't have any lines, but he's a bad character. I mean, I'm fully aware that I'm never going to be cast as the girl next door. And then it comes out. It's a really great message. It's a very women-empowering situation. I can't say exactly what it's about.
Yeah.
But
that's called Lola? Movie.
Lola, yeah.
Okay.
Lola, L-O-L-A, Lola. It's a female boxing movie. The star, her name's Tarja Simpson. She's done some good things with, what's that TV show? Scandal, or I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But big actress. And, okay. Independent films from Antoine Allen, and then other movies that I'm doing. It's actually a speaking role, which is nice. And I'm actually going to be helping with the stunt choreography. And so I'm just very happy, because maybe that's what I want to do after fighting. Maybe I want to do, I'm trying to get this job out in Miami with a smaller promotion. I can't say who, but I'm really hoping to start getting into commentating as well. So,
great.
You know, just trying to dip my toes into the water. You know, I can't fight forever. I'm 32. I don't know if I'm going to pop out a kid, you know, one of these days.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it'd be a little badass kid. But okay, well, look, thank you, Ashley. Thank you 1,000 times for calling, man. It's a big deal. And calling really a new show that's just starting out, that is so super cool of you to do. It really is. It's a big deal for me and an honor to have a UFC fighter on. And I just want to say, you know, thank you. I wish you the best.
Thank you for having me. You know, everybody needs to start. You know, if, you know, everybody along the way, you know, coaches and everybody didn't give me a little bit of help, you know, when I was struggling or just starting out, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So you got to pay it forward, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. All right. Okay, well, have a good night.
All right. Talk to you guys hopefully in the future.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. All right.
All right.
Bye. Wow. Wow. I just finished talking to Ashley Evan Smith, aka the Rebel Girl. I don't think I ever did I say that during the interview, the Rebel Girl? But anyway, wow. Like I'm all fucking stupid giddy over here like a fucking little kid. That was really cool of her to call to a show, like I was telling her to call into a new show. She didn't have that much time, but shit, it was, let's see, it was good, 30, 35 minutes. That's really what I want. Okay, so I got it. Well, everybody's talking mainly about the fucking Wilder knockout of Luis Ortiz. Fucking Wilder, it's a trip, dude. I think to me, okay, this is Wilder. I think I've watched his last four fights. There seems to be like, you know, people are saying, he was losing to Ortiz. Some people will say he was losing to Fury. You know, I'm thinking maybe Wilder is one of those guys. He's just kind of waiting. I think he's just, because obviously he has a fucking chin, because people hit him, but he doesn't seem to get rocked. Like the only time, I think he got rocked by one, like once in the first Ortiz fight. But as soon as the bell rang, he was kind of like laughing, sticking his tongue out, looking at his corner like it was no big deal. Same thing with Fury. I think Fury hurt him once, but then again, you know. So I think he has such a great chin that Wilder, he's just kind of, I think he knows he's going to knock you out. I really does. I really do. I think he knows he's going to knock you out. You're going to fucking go down. You're going down no matter what. He's going to knock you out. So that's why I think we're seeing sometimes we're, oh, well, he's behind on the fight. He was going to lose the fight. No, he wasn't. So now I'm thinking if he fights Fury again, I say he knocks out Fury this time within 8 rounds, 8, 9 rounds. I think he knocks out Fury. That's my prediction. If Bomb Squad fights against Fury again. And so I was talking about boxing, might as well stick with it. You know, I was watching all these athletes do these a day in the life. So I watched the one of Andy Ruiz. And, you know, it was good, but it was kind of typical, right? Where the starts in the morning, you know, they kind of follow them to their cars, show off all their cars, go to the gym, then show the workout they can't show, right? It's always like a secret. And then they show them eating at a restaurant, and then they show them this one going to buy more cars. I think he bought some badass like Range Rover, and then that's kind of it. But to me, what they're not showing, and I don't know if it's on purpose or whatever, they're not showing all the pussy these guys can get, especially like Andy Ruiz. Like, Ruiz is a good looking dude. He's young. And fuck, come on, dude. You know those fucking gold digging bitches are out there. And there's no way, like, when he goes to that restaurant or that dealership, they're not around. Because they don't show, they show like little kids, right? And old people going up to him getting autographs. You know damn well that's not the only thing going on. Like, I wish they would show that fucking side. All these fucking gold diggers out there fucking throwing their pussy at these fucking guys. Because maybe I think people would understand more the fucking options and temptations these guys have once they get so fucking famous. But in the Ruiz Joshua, I'm going to pick Andy Ruiz, because I think this is one of those cases where matchups, a bad matchup makes a fucking nightmare. I think Ruiz's style, his height is a nightmare for Joshua. I think Andrew Ruiz, his style of fighting and his height is fucking Joshua's kryptonite. And then the way Ruiz has super fast hands and can come in all of a sudden, because he kind of fights in spurts. Like, if I compare it to MMA, he's kind of like a Yoel Romero, where he's just kind of like, there. And all of a sudden, he's like a 3, 4, 5 fucking combination comes out of nowhere with speed and power. And the heart of a fucking Mexican. Because when he does get rocked, doesn't do shit. Like, if you watch the first fight, which I seen in Vegas, but I was just watching it the other night, when he knocks down Ruiz the first time, which I think was the third round, Ruiz is just really just kind of sitting there like, this motherfucker, this pinche negro. Like, you know, he doesn't look rocked. Like, if you really look at Ruiz's face when he's sitting there on the fucking canvas, he doesn't look hurt. He just looks like he's just kind of like thinking like, all right. So he's fucking, I don't think Joshua can fucking hurt Ruiz, you know, like hurt him, like rock him where he's dazed and shit and doesn't know where he's at. I don't think he can do that. So that's why I'm picking Ruiz. And I think he might knock him out maybe sooner. I don't know. Because I don't think, because in a way, Ruiz kind of fights like Wilder, where he's just kind of like chilling, you know, and he's kind of like reacting. And I think when Joshua knocked him down, he actually fucking woke him up. He didn't fucking hurt him. So, yeah, I'm picking Ruiz by knockout and Wilder by knockout. And that's about all I'm going to go for, because I had no scripts. I have no idea what fucking UFC is coming up. So I have nothing else to talk about. But that was awesome. Talking to Ashley, I'm so thankful. I'm going to look for a highlight right now. So I'm going to end this right here.
Se acabó, cabrones y cabronas. And here's el public disclaimer. What you heard on this show could be true or not. We don't know. We just think it's funny. So please click that like, follow, and subscribe buttons. And viva la raza!